The following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The resurrection was over. Those closest to Jesus were beginning to have direct contact with their resurrected friend. Mary Magdalene had encountered him first. Soon after, Jesus appeared to most of the disciples in a locked room. For some reason, Thomas had not been present. Maybe he just needed some time alone. Shortly afterwards, the disciples told him of Jesus' appearance, but he did not believe them. There was a reason we know him today as Doubting Thomas. But a week later, Thomas was with the rest of the disciples and Jesus again appeared to them. Knowing that Thomas had said, unless he could see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hands in his sides, I will not believe. Jesus invited Thomas to put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. But when Thomas saw the open wounds, that was all he needed. He then proclaimed to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Today, we will be considering the role of Jesus' wounds for Thomas and for you and me. Jesus' wounds did not disappear after his return. It was those wounds that helped Thomas become a true believer. It was those wounds that were a bridge between a doubting Thomas and a believing Thomas. There is something about those wounds that made the risen Christ real to Thomas. It was what made him an effective witness and believer. The words of the prophet Isaiah were fulfilled. They were probably written about 500-600 years ago, before the time of Jesus, when the children of Israel were exiled in Babylon. A common promise within much of the Old Testament had to do with a Messiah who would create a new beginning for the Israelites. But the Messiah would sacrifice his own life to make this possible, according to Isaiah. By his bruises, we are healed. Those bruises would be the result of much pain and suffering on his part. He has borne our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, oppressed, and he was afflicted. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich. Probably those waving the palm branches and celebrating the arrival of Jesus to Jerusalem had forgotten this part of the prophecy, but it was soon to be fulfilled. By his bruises, we are healed. And it is the wounded Jesus, yes, he still has the scars, who shows me and you how our wounds can also be a bridge between previous challenging experiences and a new approach to life and witness. The wounds we receive in life can be the bridge between us and those God calls us to serve. Let me tell you about my friend, Carl. I first met him at Open M, one of Akron's inner city mission outposts in which we as a church have supported. Carl and I were part of a group that was partnering people striving to get out of poverty with others who had at least a degree of economic stability. Carl was my partner. And even though that particular program faded, Carl and I continued to maintain a relationship and friendship. Carl was raised on the streets of Cleveland. He ran with a crowd that used and sold drugs. He also gained income from robbery and other crimes. He told me once how he and a friend walked out of a major downtown department store with a large kitchen appliance they had not paid for. Then they sold it on the street. Carl was in and out of prison or jail several times. His longest stay came about when he attempted an escape. Note I said attempted. He was being transferred from one jail to another. In the process, he grabbed a gun from one of the guards. Did not go well for Carl. He was quickly subdued, and he ended up with a longer prison stay. But it was during this incarceration that he was introduced to Jesus Christ, and he accepted Christ into his life, he truly became a new man. And his former life of crime and imprisonment, his wounds, so to speak, were his means of introducing others to Christ. He was quite the evangelist. On more than one occasion, he would be, sitting next to a stranger in a bus station, or come across a young man strolling along the street, or be taking a break in a coffee shop next to someone, and tell them what Jesus meant to him. His story about his previous life was an entry point. He would also do the same with strangers who visited the church. Carl offered his wounds, his setbacks and sufferings, as a bridge to Christ. He did not deny the hurt and pain and wounds that he experienced, or how his criminal ways wounded others. But Jesus had pulled him out of a life of deceit and crime, and he let others know that Christ could do the same for them. Carl died this past January. For a good part of the previous year, he was in and out of hospitals and skilled nursing facilities. It was there that Carl, by the way, continued to witness to his faith. His roommates and staff were always given the opportunity to accept Christ as well. Several medical complications kept him away from his home more than he was with being his family and being with his family and wife. I saw him rarely because of the COVID restrictions, but we talked on the phone frequently. We would always end our calls with prayers and blessings for each other. When it was time for his wife to personally identify his body, she was not able to get to the hospital. They then asked her if there were any identifying marks that they could use to accurately enter for his records. His wife thought a minute and said yes. On his left shoulder, there was a scar. It was from a bullet wound. A wound or a scar can be a bridge to wholeness. For Carl, that meant numerous opportunities to offer Christ to others. Inspiration for this sermon comes from an artist named Makoto Fujimura. He was featured in an article from this February's Sojourners magazine. Although painting is his major emphasis, he also is a student of Kintsugi. The article tells us it is the art of mending broken ceramics, restoring a broken cup or bowl to wholeness, highlighting rather than masking the fractures. Fujimura is quoted as saying, "We must first learn to behold even those painful, broken fragments as beautiful." He said, went on to say that it is an invitation to look with compassion and love on broken lives and broken systems as the starting point of repair and reform and healing. Good news comes from scars, believes Fujimura. He cites how Jesus still had his wounds post-resurrection. He says, new creation flows out of these sacred wounds. In this, are we not being reminded that wounds, a scar, brokenness can be a bridge to wholeness? One would expect that the risen Christ would be healed, his body would be whole, but it was not. In the joy of the resurrection, we accept that. With it also comes the wounds and scars of life, for Jesus and for you and me. You and I can name some of the wounds and scars that have affected our lives this past year. One word we come across quite frequently is the word polarization. It has damaged relationships. It's as though we are frozen in ice somewhere and can't move out of our own position. And we look across that ice to see others at a distance who are frozen there as well. We shout and yell at each other across a wide expanse of nothingness. There's no thaw on the horizon. We are fixed in one position, what we believe is the right position. And there's nothing but coldness between us and those people. Those people. We see this in the halls of Congress. We see this within Methodism as we confront one another on sexuality. We see it between friends and family members. Oh, the wounds and scars are many. COVID-19. Grief has become widespread in many unexpected ways. That too is a barrier. I saw a list the other day of settings that could not occur this past year. Graduations, weddings, proms, school activities, dating, vacation, reunions, celebrations of accomplishments, nursing home, hospital visits, illness, death, funerals. Oh, the scars and wounds are countless. We've all been affected by wounds and scars that create fear and trembling. The question is, how do we deal with them? Do we let them fester and spread? Or do we treat them as a bridge that can lead us to wholeness and new life? Take polarization, for instance. You and I have been hurt or wounded, perhaps, by what another person or a group of people say about us and what we believe. It's painful. Our nature is too often to either strike back or draw into a hole and let the wounds fester. But what about a goal that involves telling that other person what you understand about her or his point of view? And then the person saying, "That's it, you got it." This takes a while for something like that to happen. It means some reading and studying, but most importantly, it means listening. The result may be in find some common ground, who knows? And by exposing your scars in the process may be a bridge that at least leads to some respect. But even if you still disagree, the listening will renew or create relationships. Grief can also be addressed by listening, by letting others know you are in tune with their feelings. And I don't mean that by saying, "I know what you are going through." I'm not sure that really helps. I do mean repeating the other person's words and then maybe responding with words that express his or her feelings, not yours. The wounds you have experienced will help you respond in compassion and understanding. They will be the bridge between yourself and the one you are trying to care for. When we walk into this church's sanctuary within the next month or so, some people will be missing, and we will grieve. When a diploma was handed out through the open window of a car, it did not feel like a real graduation. There was grief. When a reunion was canceled or postponed or Zoomed, there was something missing. There was grief. When a vacation is canceled, there is grief. The wounds from grief we have known can be a bridge, however, to helping and serving others. I have been inspired by many ways caring and loving people have found ways to bridge such grief. A drive-by birthday celebration with banners waving and horns honking. I've been part of a couple of those myself. A person in an extended hospital stay barraged by birthday cards. A graveside funeral with no music for a music lover, until someone turned on their smartphone and one heard a favorite hymn. A student music recital Zoomed from dozens of homes from which instruments were played and solos were sung. Because some have faced loss and pain this year, others have reached out and created bridges to new opportunities and perspectives. Likewise, grieving spirits can find a bridge through Jesus Christ. And we can be the agents who introduce that Christ, the bridge, if you will, to those struggling with emptiness in their lives. We can find strength and encouragement from Christ. Knowing the grief and pain he bore for us and others frees you and me. His pain is the bridge between him and us. And as we meet him on that bridge, it will strengthen our ability to reach others. Thomas refused to gather with the other disciples after that crucifixion. He wanted to be alone. The loss of a friend, a teacher, a travel companion may have been overwhelming. It was not something he wanted to talk about with others. His grief was a lonely grief. Ultimately, of course, he did reunite with the others who told him they had already seen the risen Lord. He did not believe them, but it was time to be with his friends again anyway. It was then that the view of the open wounds convinced him that Jesus was still real in his life. "My Lord and my God," proclaimed Jesus. It was the bruised and scarred body that were the bridge to a whole new life for him and the many he inspired. And in this, the words of the prophet Isaiah were fulfilled. By his bruises, we are healed. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day. Some of our days this past week, we have been warm with light breezes. Still others have been cool and stormy and rainy. And we thank you for all these days. We know they are all part of your plan. It is good to remember how what we have experienced is designed by you. It gives us comfort to know of your constant presence in this world and in our lives. And you have guided us through Holy Week and Easter. Sometimes we would prefer to ignore Good Friday and just focus on Easter. Joy and new life are much easier to face than suffering and death. But again, you have been with us through it all. You remind us that suffering and death are just as much a part of living as our joy and new life. Thank you, God, for walking us through it all. Today we pray for those facing these truths today. We pray for Mike Sennett, for Mary Lou McGregor, for Margie Stahl, the families and friends of Regina and Joe Coya, the family and friends of David Watkins. May they all feel and know your kindly love and reassurance of your presence. And we keep in our prayers our sisters and brothers in Christ who worship together at the Burton City United Methodist Church. We also include in our prayers, our God, those whom we do not know. Sometimes the world seems to be full of anger and hate and violence, and it impacts so many. We, along with so many others, are victimized by fear and hopelessness. May we all discover ways to find the bridge that can lead to hope and possibility and a new tomorrow, a tomorrow filled with service and mercy and love. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church, visit www.kentmethodist.org.